This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
John starts his gospel by giving us a summary of the entire story of God as Jesus, sending him to us as a human, as a son who brings the light, the grace, and the truth. John tells us that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that he was in the beginning with God. He tells us also of John the Baptist, who came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He makes clear that John was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world, he said. John is purposefully connecting us back to Isaiah, to the beginning, when God promised, "I will not rest until vindication shines out like the dawn and salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory." Here now is that glory in Christ. John, as we have seen repeated over and over in these last few weeks of gospel readings, is connecting the end to the beginning. He's connecting the new covenant, echoing all the way back to the Hebrew Bible. God the Alpha, God the Omega, the beginning to the end. And connecting Jesus the Messiah to God the Creator. The light that John speaks of as the light of all people is the same light that Isaiah spoke of when he said, shining out like dawn. God as Jesus, as God. This is a full circle moment that John is trying to impart here, so that we would know who and what God is and God's many names to us and to the whole world. And this full circle reverberates as a cycle that we live into as a people of the liturgy. It's what gives our prayer and spiritual life meaning and a way to experience God week in and week out. Our liturgical cycle gives our lives rhythm and purpose and meaning in the times where we might lose our way through the minutiae that is an embodied life on earth. A life that has its own cycles of water, of harvest, of seasons. And so here we find ourselves in the beginning of John and at the beginning of our liturgical year. The first 4 weeks of our liturgical year being Advent, where we heard the story of the coming of the Messiah, and we have just celebrated his miraculous birth through anticipation and into his carnation. And we will now move forward into our year through his life and ministry and the revelation of who he is, all the way to his crucifixion and his resurrection at Easter and his ascension at Pentecost. This first half of our liturgical year helps us to understand how crucial God's presence is among us, and how he, being fully human, may help us to trust in his ability to reach us and relate to us as something more than fully divine, which God also is. After Pentecost, of course, we'll begin again with the stories of God's people, which is also called ordinary time. And that second half of our liturgical year that brings us all the way to Advent again. But it is very important that we always begin again with a firm understanding of who God is. Of who God is to us and God's importance to the rest of the world, particularly as he relates to the powers and principalities of the time when he was born and doing ministry in his young life. This matters because of what God promised to us through the prophet Isaiah. It's important that we understand that who God names and how God describes the Messiah means for us that Jesus is our Messiah. This is not the case for our Jewish siblings who do not see Jesus that way, but instead as simply a prophet. It's also crucial that we understand that the power in the world at the time of that incarnation was earthly, and that God made a promise to God's people to deliver them from that kind of power into a different kind of power. To be called a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. Jesus came and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That is not earthly. Yet Jesus came fully embodied, fully human, in order to help us understand the limitations of this kind of earthly power. Jesus came fully embodied to show us the way back to God, to show us the completeness of God's salvation, and to encourage us to create a path which will lead us to God over and over again, week after week, season after season, and year after year, so that in the end, we are confident that we will be seated together with him at God's right hand. Hence our liturgical year. Hence our liturgy and tradition and the rhythm of our lives as Episcopalians. This is the reason for our Eucharistic prayers, our communion with the saints and the great cloud of witnesses, and our determination to resist evil forces, which we could easily fall to if we're not paying attention, yes? Our liturgies allow us to slip into a space between the earthly and to see through to another state of being, which is spirit and divine. The distinction between these two states, earthly and divine, is crucial because here on earth is not where our salvation lies. Unless we understand that, we may begin to look for our salvation among the earthly and expect God to show up to save us in ways that look concrete. That kind of thinking might change our prayer life to and what we ask of God. We may begin to see those moments that we look for better grades in our prayer, or more money, or good physical health, rather than love and money and grace. Money, love, and grace. Do you see how easily that slips in? Always going back to the rhythm of our prayer life. Hold me. Lest we begin to see those moments that we look for better grades or more money or good physical health rather than mercy and grace. That's what it says. It says mercy. Rather than deliverance from the weight of our earthly concerns. This world is not what God is most concerned with, it turns out. It is our spirits that God cares most for. God brings the light to our spirits that we may see God here in moments and create God here by bearing witness to the light that we see from God in Christ, that we may be that light, that we may share that light. And it doesn't have to be bright, loved ones, because any amount of light will cast out depths of despair and darkness of heart. I don't know if any of you follow Nadia Boltz-Weber. She is someone who has been to the depths of despair and crawled back out. And we who have done so keep track of one another. So she's my people, and she speaks truth. And on Christmas Eve, she was speaking to a women's prison in Colorado, and she says this: a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overpower it. A light shines in this world, and the world cannot overpower it. A light shines in you, and you cannot overpower it. A light shines in the powers and principalities of our city and our state and our nation. And the powers and principalities of our city, our state, and our nation cannot overpower it. A light shines in your deepest fears, and your deepest fears cannot overpower it. All the way back to Isaiah, we were promised that vindication shines out like the dawn and a salvation like a burning torch. All the way forward to the Gospel of John, we hear that what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The coming of Jesus meant that darkness would be scattered because he came within the law to bless us, not with more law. But instead, he blessed us with mercy and truth. Not only does that mean that we are carried by God into the eschaton, into life everlasting, but that as we are marked as Christ's own forever, we have the ability to bear and cast this light to those around us who have been in the pits of despair. It is God's promise that we never have to stay in those pits of despair again. It is a privilege to bear light to one who is in despair. So get out there with your little lights, friends. Share who you are, even if it's a tiny spark of what you bear, so that those in despair can remember that they are meant for better things. And so that this earthly power that is wielded in these days with such abandon does not have the last say. Earthly power does not hold sway over us, the people of God. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. We hold the light and the truth. We know deeply of God's mercy and grace, of God's great glory, and we will bear witness to them forevermore. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.